So tonight I want to share with you a message called Press On. Press On. Let's pray. God, I do thank you for this night. I thank you for just the time of worship. God, I thank you for your presence being so real in this place tonight. And I just pray, God, that you take me out of the equation. God, less of me and more of you. Let our hearts be open to what you have for us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Tired, upset, useless, discouraged, depressed, angry, condemnation, guilt, hopelessness, pointless, done. Those are all emotions that I've felt probably the past 5 months, all in one. I was stuck in this feeling, for lack of better word, blah. You ever just feel a blah? You don't really have a word, so you're just like blah. And so that's kind of how I felt the past few months, just blah. And I couldn't seem to move past it. And I felt like I was just living day to day, just like Ryan was speaking of earlier, just not really making any difference, like not even thinking or feeling like that anything that I do really mattered. So what's the point? And I'm the kind of person that I do push through and try to press on, but it didn't stop the way I was feeling, right? And these things are also what the enemy uses to distract you and I from doing what God has called us to do on a regular basis. Maybe you didn't hear the word that maybe you've been struggling with, but I'm sure there's a word that you can think of that you've been fighting through that the enemy is trying to use to distract you from your purpose of doing things on a regular basis. And we have to learn how to press on despite how we feel sometimes. And tonight I want to share with you how God has helped me press on through these thoughts and through these feelings. 1 John 3:19-20 says, "Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. So we will be confident when we stand before God, even if we feel guilty. God is greater than our feelings, and he knows everything." One version says that even though our hearts condemn us, he's greater than that. He's greater than our hearts. God is greater than our feelings. And I've never actually read that scripture, and I found that probably the end of January, and I was like, wow, God, you're greater than our feelings. You're greater than what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling right now. God is greater than any negative thought that comes into our mind. He's greater than any feeling that we may feel on any given day. He's greater than that, and he knows everything. And so when we come to a point where our feelings get in the way of our purpose, then we need to take a step back and realize that God is greater than that. And he doesn't want us to get distracted by feelings of discouragement, of hopelessness, of condemnation, or anything that we may be feeling. He doesn't want us to get distracted because we feel a certain way, because God is greater than our hearts. He is greater than our feelings. So like I said, I read that around the end of January, and I really began to meditate on that scripture. Like, I just kept thinking, okay, God, I know I'm feeling like this, but your word says that you're greater than this. You're greater than how I'm feeling. I can get through this, God. With your help, I can get through this. But I still felt blah. I still felt like nothing was changing, even though I knew what the word said. And so then God led me to this next scripture, and, you know, probably around the middle of February, and I didn't read it at first. I was a little stubborn, and I didn't want to read it. You don't have to, I know, but my husband's like, stubborn? But I was, and I was like, because I almost like knew what he wanted to show me. So do you ever meet somebody that they're in a bad mood, and, you know, you're trying to cheer them up, and even you, let's say, okay, me, I'm in a bad mood, and I know a certain song will help me get through something, and I don't want to listen to it. I want to stay mad. I want to stay hurt. I want to stay sad. Actually, today, my mom had my kids today, and she called me because my daughter was having a little bit of a tantrum, and she goes, "Your daughter needs to sleep, and she won't go to bed." And so she's on the phone, and she's crying, and I'm like, "Addison, will you just stop crying so I can talk to you?" She goes, "I don't want to stop crying." And I think, how true is that? Like, in life, like, you know, God's like, "Will you just listen to me?" And you're like, "I don't want to stop how I feel right now." And so that's kind of how it was. And so I knew what would happen when I read this scripture. And it's a passage that probably many of you have heard. And so I kind of pushed it off. And then a few weeks ago, I was praying for tonight because I knew I was speaking tonight. And God was just like, girl, you better read this passage of scripture because I want to teach you something here. So I was like, fine. So I sat down on my couch and I opened it up and I began to read it. And I couldn't get through it right away because I knew what God was trying to tell me. And so tonight I'll get through it. And I just want to share what God showed me through this passage about pressing on. So we're going to turn to Mark 5, and we're going to start at verse 24 and read to 34. It says, a large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Here we encounter a woman with an issue of blood. For 12 years, she walked around with this issue. For 12 years, she was shunned by society. For 12 years, she went looking for a cure. For 12 years, she gave all of her money to her physicians and for medicine. For 12 years, she searched for a method that would work. And after these 12 years, she was still incurable and ran out of money. She was weak, poor, hurt, frustrated, tired, upset, discouraged, lonely, hopeless. She was done. And she was at a moment in her life where she had to press on regardless of her circumstances. And so the first thing that I noticed in this passage was pay no attention to the crowd. Verse 27 says, she came up behind him in the crowd. This was a very big deal for her because the Jewish law declared her to be ceremonially unclean due to what issue she had going on. And that meant that she would not even have been permitted to enter the Jewish temple for ceremonies. And according to the law, anything or anyone that she touched because of her issue was also unclean. And the fact that she was in the crowd pressing on towards Jesus meant that each person she came in contact with was unclean. And eventually, if she touched Jesus, then he would be considered unclean too. But she decided to press on through the crowd to get to Jesus anyway. She paid no attention to what the crowd thought of her. The crowd will push you back, but Jesus will draw you close. The crowd will tear you down, but Jesus will build you up. The crowd will mock you, but Jesus will speak life to you. The crowd will try to stop you, but Jesus will walk hand in hand with you. The crowd one day will like you, and the next will disown you. But Jesus loved you so much that he died for you. The greatest prison that we can live in is the fear of what other people think. If we walk around worried about the crowd, worried about what the crowd thinks of us, worried about what they're going to say, worried about what they're going to do, that is the greatest prison that we can live in. The only one that we should be worried about what thinks of us is Jesus. I read a quote, I thought it was kind of funny. It said, don't worry about what the crowd thinks. They don't do it very often anyway. You see, we shouldn't worry at that moment about what the crowd thought. She didn't worry about that. And if she had, she would have never gotten to Jesus. Pay no attention to the crowd. Follow Jesus, and you will press on. The second thing that I saw in this passage is that Jesus is the answer. You can try to find your answers with people, with family, with TV, on social media, even books. But the solution to your situation is Jesus. He is always your solution to any situation. Don't make him your last resort. Unfortunately, we see that this woman had made him her last resort. And he'll always be a sure refuge, even to those who make him their last refuge. But when you know that Jesus is your answer, he will direct you in the path that you should go. Because guess what? He did make the doctors. He did make the physicians. He did make the writers, the scientists. He created all those things, right? But when we start there, it leads us to a dead end. But what if we began with Jesus, and then the Bible says that he's going to direct us which way to go in life? Psalm 48:14 says, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide to the end." When we know that Jesus is our answer, he will guide us where to go in a situation that we're facing. So we need to look to him first and know that he is our answer. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him," and then what? "He will direct your path." So when we put Jesus first, when we know he is the solution to our situation, he's going to guide you on the path and which way to go to find the answer here on earth. Because ultimately, he is the number one answer. And so after all that, she realized, you know what? I've tried all this, but Jesus is the answer. I have to get to Jesus. He's the solution right now to my situation. And number three, don't let your struggle become your identity. Again, for 12 years, this woman was known as the woman with an issue of blood. We don't even know her name. Like, there's no name. I actually read somewhere that the primitive church actually gave her a name because they thought she should have a name. But the Bible doesn't give her a name. She's known as a woman with an issue of blood. And at first, her identity is found in that struggle. But she changed that, didn't she? She found faith. So her identity was then found in her faith. Her fate was death. But her faith said not yet. She didn't come to be seen by Jesus like so many, and that was probably due to the condition that she was in. But she didn't come to be noticed. She only wanted to touch the hem of his garment. That was her faith. She thought, you know what, if I could just press through there, if I could just touch, not even him, Jesus, but just what he's wearing, that was her faith. And her faith stepped in when her fate was revealed. And her ability to press on through her struggle changed her identity. In verse 34, it said, "Your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." So here we have a woman who was known as a woman with an issue of blood, but then her faith turned her into the woman that had enough faith that if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And guess what? Her faith changed her identity. Jesus said to her, "Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Now she's a free woman. Her identity was found in that freedom that Jesus gave her and the grace that God gave her at that time. Don't stay where you're going because you're going through a struggle. Don't stay where you are because you think the struggle is who you are, because it's not. Your struggle is not your identity. Your struggle is not who you are. Let your identity be found in God and press on through the struggle and be freed from your suffering. Philippians 3:13-15 says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Forget what is behind. Forget my struggle. Forget what I'm going through. Forget what other people say about me. I forget what is behind and I strain towards what is ahead. I press on. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you." God will make your identity clear when you press on to him. It says it right there. If on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. God will make your identity clear to you when you press on to him. Your identity is not found in what you're going through. Don't stay there. Let your faith bring you somewhere else, because your identity will be clear when you press on towards him. And the last thing I found in the scripture, don't ever quit. She was tired. She was lonely. She was weak. She didn't have a lot of friends, probably none, because no one could be around her. She was weak, but she didn't quit. Even when the doctor said, "You're going to die. We can't fix this." She was like, "But Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming my way." She didn't stop. She didn't say, "Well, if anyone else can't fix me, Jesus can't either." She didn't stop. She didn't quit. Keep going when it's hard. Keep going when you're tired. Keep going when you don't think it matters. Keep going when you feel weak. Keep going when you feel discouraged. Keep going when you feel like you want to quit. Keep going when you feel like giving up. Keep going. Don't ever quit. No matter how hard it gets, you are never actually done until you quit. No matter how hard it gets, you're never done until you actually stop, until you quit. I was showing this video in youth a few weeks ago, and I actually had a whole different message to this video. I was talking to them about giving God your best. And many of you have seen this scene probably a million times, but I never get tired of it. So guess what? You're all going to watch it with me again. So I was talking about giving God your best. And as I'm over in youth, feeling what I'm feeling, you know, just trying to push through, trying to press on, I'm watching it. And God was saying to me, as I'm saying to the kids, "Give God your best, you got this." God's saying to me, "Keep moving, Aaron. Keep pushing through. Keep pressing on. There's more in you. You got this. Keep moving forward." And so I hope that you can see the same when we watch this clip.
It's not even funny, dude.
So, Coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I don't want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. I get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right, let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground, just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. A little bit left.
I bet he does.
There you go. Show me good effort. That away, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
I'm out of the 20 yet.
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
Hey, done. Just resting a second.
You got to keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on. Keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm about out of strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength. But don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop! Keep going!
Too hard!
It's not too hard! You keep going! Come on, Brock! Give me more! Give me more! Keep going! 20 more steps! 20 more! Keep going, Brock! Give me your best! Don't quit! No! Keep going! Keep going! Keep going! Don't quit! Don't quit! Don't quit! Brock Kelly, you don't quit! Keep going! Keep going! Go, Brock Kelly! You don't quit on me! No! You keep going! You keep going! Go, Brock! 10 more steps! 10 more! 10 more! 10 more! Keep going! Don't quit! Give me your
heart!
You can! You can! 5 more! 5 more! Come on, Brock! Come on! Don't quit! Don't quit! Come on, Brock! 2 more! 1 more!
Let's go to the 50. Let's go to the 50. I don't have any more.
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone. Brock, you are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Oh, tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field on your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Coach?
Can I count on you?
Yes.
Coach?
What is it, Jeremy?
I weigh 160.
Good, huh? I'll try to make it through. He said in the beginning of that, and I don't know if I ever caught it quite like I did the last time I watched it. He said, I don't want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. I've had that conversation with God, you know. It hurts. I can't go anymore. I don't want to go on. I'm tired. I'm weak. I don't feel like I can do it. I don't feel like it matters. I don't feel like I'm making any difference. It's hard, God. It's hard. I don't want to keep going. And he looks at us and he says, I don't want you giving up when you can go further. You got to press on through that struggle. You got to press on because it's worth it in the end. And when we walk around defeated, then so will everybody else. What good are we to those people around us if we're walking around defeated? We're supposed to be the light to the people around us. We're supposed to be the strength, even when it's hard. Even when it doesn't make any sense. Don't give up at a certain point when you can go further. There's more in every single one of us. There's more in us. We can do more. We can be more. Because God has put it inside of us. Don't let your struggle become your identity. Don't pay attention to the crowd. Because they're going to be haters. That just comes with the territory. Know that Jesus is your answer and don't ever quit. Press on through your struggle. Press on to Jesus. Press your way through the crowd. Because at the end of it, it's going to be all worth it when you are able to stand up and say, I pressed on and look at where God has brought me. Your faith has healed you. Go and be free. Your faith will be able to get you through the struggle and you're going to walk around a free man and a free woman when you press on through whatever it is that you're going through. Amen? Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for the word. I thank you, God, that you help us, God, to push on, to press forward, God, through our situations, through our struggle, God. And I pray that you just give us a new strength, God, to be able to walk through life, God. Help us to be the light to those people around us, God. Help us to be that strength that God, that you have put inside of us. And God, help us to press on through whatever it is that we're facing, knowing that you are the answer, God. I thank you for that. I thank you that every person here, God, no matter, they showed up. They showed up tonight, God. And I just pray that you help them in whatever they're going through, God. Help them to see you in their situation, God. And help every single one of us to press on. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you need prayer for anything tonight, if anything that I spoke about or Ryan spoke about earlier, you maybe feel or you're having a hard time going through, we want to walk through it with you and we want to pray for you. So if you need prayer before you go, please come on up here. We'll pray with you. If not, we hope to see you Sunday morning. Have a great night. We love you.